Okay, cool. All right, awesome. Okay.
Hi, all. Welcome to the first installation of the NBA Subtext with Colin McSherry, a podcast analyzing the evolution of the NBA and how it fares in the current day. I'm here with my guest today, Rob Crane, Senior Director of Corporate Partnerships for the Celtics, to discuss the evolution of basketball operations in the NBA. Today in the pod, we're going to be talking about team building, Rob's experience in sports and sales, and how sales and brand deals affect the business side of basketball. Rob, it's awesome to have you in. Thanks so much for coming on.
Nice to meet you, Colin.
Nice to meet you. So the NBA is in a total inflection point as priorities for front offices are shifting. The draft's importance has never been greater in the due to the evolution of the game, and versatility is a player's greatest asset. And so the self-awareness around this reality is creating an overwhelming amount of talent and identity in the league. My first question for you is just I'd love to start off the pod hearing your thoughts on the evolution of the game and how it's affected the business side in 2026.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm enjoying this. I'm not the basketball expert here, so I'll kind of answer your question as I think in general, the evolution of basketball has been is global in nature, right? And I think from a business perspective, and you can see it from the players that are on the court, the NBA is a growing global enterprise. And I think from my job day to day, which is to secure revenue opportunities for the team, more and more of those come from a global opportunity standpoint. And I think that that probably mimics a lot what you see on the court, right? There's a heck of a lot more players from all across the globe. So I think the global growth of the NBA is definitely something that has changed and will continue to go in that direction, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's kind of unprecedented how it ended up happening, and it kind of seemed like it was pretty sudden. Do you think there was a moment, a shift moment for it, or do you think it's been the last couple of years where it has become global?
Don't think that there was a, in my opinion, I don't think that there was a, one thing that just said, boom, it's global. But there's billions of people that play basketball, right? So the game is global. I think that it's the second most played sport in the world next to, football slash soccer, right? So you got a bunch of people playing it. So I think I don't think it's a one bang thing that did it. I think it's the growth of the game in general, right? And it can be played anywhere in the world, really.
Yeah, totally. And obviously with a lot of I think it's interesting. I think I was in class with a bunch of people that were kind of huge Steph Curry heads and that, they were Chinese foreign exchange students. So it's like that kind of goes to a global perspective too. And that was only a couple of years ago for me. So the way it's evolved with, a ton of, I mean, I feel like the league is dominated by those in Europe. So it's really interesting to kind of see it all unfold. I'd love to, talk a little bit about your career. I after reading about what you do in sales and the leadership roles you do with the Celtics, I noticed that your job entails like working with brands to leverage the power of sports to help obtain what they may want on the business side. How have brands affected the business side of sports from what you've seen working with the Celtics?
Yeah, I mean, brands, partnerships are a big revenue driver for the team, and not only the Celtics, but for all teams, right? Like from whether you're in the big leagues or you're in the minor leagues, corporate partnerships and slash, sponsorships, as people call them, are a big revenue driver for the team. So working with brands is something I enjoy a great deal. And taking, anybody can go buy Google Ads, but there's no passion behind Google Ads, right?
No, of course.
You can have a great passion for the team and leverage that into telling a story that brands can tell a story and using the Celtics to be that platform to be able to tell that story. And I enjoy that a great deal. And it's a lot of fun. It's all different. It's all creative. And it's a big piece of the pie in the overall business of the Celtics. And it's fun to be a part of.
That does sound really fun. That's really interesting. I never really looked at it as a creative avenue. That's very interesting. I was hoping to talk a little bit as well about your time with the Paw Sox. I know Dr.
Oh yeah.
Carl Steinberg.
I
So
did. I do know the good doctor.
the good doctor's pretty great. He's a great guy.
I agree.
Can you talk a bit about your experience with the PawSox and kind of your early understanding of how brand deals were happening there? And obviously it was more in a minor league situation.
Yeah, I spent 17 years in minor league baseball, right? So
Wow.
it wasn't just in Pawtucket and the great job that they're doing in Worcester, but it goes much beyond that, and the great people that they have running in Worcester now. I think brand deals has always been about the same, whether you're in the minor leagues or the big leagues.
Yeah.
There's brands trying to use the team in different ways to be able to increase key goals and objectives that they're trying to accomplish, right? So whether you're in the minor leagues and you're a pizza place and you're trying to get more people in the door to buy your pizza, right? Like,
Right.
or you're a global brand trying to leverage the Celtics all around the world. They're all this different stories, but the same, right? Like they're all, you're still trying to use a sports team to achieve your goals. It's just kind of at different scales. And sometimes there's pizza places that are trying to use the Celtics to drive more people to go into the pizza shop, right?
Right.
So
It's a give and take for
yeah,
both
so
parties.
it's a, and it's why it's called partnerships, right? And those types of things. I was lucky to be able to spend 17 years in minor league baseball, where it kind of formed your habits of, work ethic and, positive attitudes to be able to try to get these deals done. That takes a team to be able to do it. It's just not one person. It's not just a salesperson. There's activation people. There's ticket people. There's
Right.
all kinds of different folks, operations folks, that are able to make all of these things happen. And I think you gotta. And it was a learning experience for the 17 years that I was in minor league baseball, and still is, on collaboration, on communication. And those are definite skills that I try to employ and also try to improve upon.
How quickly do brand deals get done, usually on average?
The minor league level, I mean, at the major, at the Celtics level, it can take 6 months to 6
Wow.
years. I've worked on deals for multiple years, and working on deals for multiple years, they can take a long time.
That's so
They're not
interesting.
quick. They're not quick.
No, yeah, so it is almost like a wow, I never realized that it takes that long. And there's no quick moments. Like there's no like I mean obviously there must be an anomaly moment, but probably not, no.
No, anomalies are slow too, right? Like it just takes a
Yeah.
long time to it just takes a long time to do them, right? Especially at the NBA level, Major League Baseball level, the NFL level, right? They're spending, a good amount of money to be able to do it. So you want to be really you want to think through, you want to be strategic, you want to be you just can't
Hyper-communicative
do it on a
too.
whim, right? You gotta
Yeah.
be got to be right on point to be able to do all these different things.
What's the through
Intentional was
line?
the word.
Totally,
Intentional was the word I
totally.
was trying to get. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I was got to be intentional on these things.
Yeah. Totally. What's the through line for Oh yeah, I'll go to the next question. I'd love to pick your brain about how you found yourself in sales initially and like kind of the through line for you working in basketball. And kind of what that transition looked like from going with the
I didn't want to
PawSox.
be in sales. I thought salespeople were scummy. Coming out of college, I was like, I don't want to do sales, but I'll do it to quote unquote get my foot in the door.
Right.
And then after a short amount of time, realized that sales was exactly what I was meant to do. And the through line to basketball was, you really got to have was to the Celtics specifically, was the 17 years in minor league baseball. And I think the point that made it really obtainable is Worcester. I learned a
Wow.
lot from Larry and Dr. Charles about doing larger scale deals. And I think Worcester, the opportunity to sell in Worcester and the founding partners that we put together and working with the team there, the gave me that ability, the notches in the proverbial belt to be able to take the next step and go to the what I always call the big league level.
Right. Worcester has so much identity. And the WooSox have so much identity, and I think a big part of it is Dr. Charles and Larry, of course. But Charles brought me over there last semester, and it's a it almost feels like it's if it feels like a major league stadium, and it's really cool to see like that from a minor league place.
Yeah,
I
Paul, they had big league people working on Polar Park, right? Like
right.
Janet Marie Smith and Larry, were the two people that designed the place for the most part, right? And they started the ballpark trend with Camden Yards of an old school looking place, but with modern amenities, right?
Yeah.
And they started that, right? And they're the same ones doing Polar Park. So you had big league people doing working in Worcester, right? So when you have those that passion, when you have that skill set, when you have that vision, people like Janet Marie Smith and Larry Lucchino and Charles and other people that were involved in that can really do wonderful things together.
It must have set such a high standard and a high precedent for you, exposing yourself to that world so early. Like that's brilliant.
Yeah, they did great.
Do you miss bass or do you miss baseball? Do you miss the minor leagues, or are you or
It's a
is it
great
different?
question. The answer is not really. I loved my time in the minor leagues. I enjoyed the influence that I had with the teams that I had, right? Charles would tell you. If Larry was still alive, he'd tell you. Janet Marie Smith will tell you. I've got a lot of fingerprints at Polar Park, and I'm proud of that. But I like the new challenge. But that was like a great chapter, probably chapters in life.
Multiple years
And
sounds insane. Yeah.
I think I'm very happy that I'm on to the next one. Couldn't be thrilled to be more with the Celtics and like the challenges that this position professionally presents itself, while also the positivities that come out of it as well. So, it's a great question. I think about it probably more frequently than I would think, but yeah, it's that chapter of minor league baseball was a lot of fun. I learned a ton, met great people, and looking forward to continuing where I'm going.
Sounds like a totally fleshed out, amazing experience. I'm going to go with my final question here. Is there a brand deal that you've landed in the past 6 months or 12 months that really felt like a really great moment for you?
It's past your time frame of 6 and 12 months, but
Yeah.
maybe the not maybe the best deal I've ever done in my life was the Amika jersey patch deal on the Celtics, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I started that from start to finish, and not only is it great to see Amika on the jerseys every single game, but right now they're in the midst, and this is the thing that you can do at kind of the NBA level is. We're also building an early education center in downtown Providence as part of this, right? So, like
Oh, wow.
the Celtic Shamrock Foundation, along with the Amika Foundation, are in the midst of this multi-year, multi-million-dollar build out to be able to provide early education to a housing development in downtown Providence, right? And
Wow.
there's incredible amounts of studies that say if you provide kids, high quality early education before they get to kindergarten, every life thing is increased positively, right? Like incarceration levels go down, alcohol addiction goes down, drug addiction goes down, college
Wow.
graduation rates go up, high school graduation rates go up. Everything that you have with a high quality early education is positive. And then to be able to provide that in a place where there was not such opportunities is a pretty special thing. So, that's the one probably I'm most, not probably, and definitely most proud of.
That is a really, really amazing, beautiful thing. That's awesome.
Yeah,
Wow.
I agree.
That is so cool. Yeah. That's amazing. I'm gonna do a quick ad read, and then I think we'll do our weekly segment thing, and then we'll
Yeah,
have you
sounds
out of
good
here.
to.
So now, yeah, we'll be taking a short break. Thank our sponsors at Prize Picks. The playoff push is heating up, and tournament hoops are here. And there's no better way to cash in if you're right on the high flying hoops action than Prize Picks, America's number one picks app. With Team Picks, I can pick Boston to win on Prize Picks every night. Download the Prize Pick app and pick your first game winner, spread, or total as the playoff push rolls on. Thanks so much for that little segment. And so now for our weekly spotlight or our team spotlight. This is like a weekly segment I do. We'll be discussing the Celtics and in particular the youth movement. Rob, you're obviously a part of the Celtics. You've been around them a ton. How have you seen the team's camaraderie and team dynamics shift as a result of guys like Jordan Walsh being implemented into the lineup and Shireman as well.
No, it's I watch the players like you do. I'm a fan. I don't have a ton of
Okay.
interaction with the players. We have a basketball operations office, which is down in Brighton. You can see it past when you're driving on the Mass Pike.
I'm in
And
Brighton
then
right
our
now.
business office is in which is basically right above the TD Garden. So I don't see them a ton, so I see them as a fan. And I think in just from a fan hat,
Fan
it's
hat, fan
great. It
perspective,
it's
totally
it's
down.
it's it's great, right? Like I think I always go back to a thing that was taught to me in life. There's two things in life you can control, Colin, and that's your effort and your attitude. And in my opinion, our players in general, by our coaches and our front office staff, put in great amount of effort. And they have positive attitudes, and that will take you a long way. No matter if that's from a player standpoint, from a professional standpoint, from a personal standpoint, I think they control their effort and their attitude exceptionally well, and will anticipate doing that going forward.
I feel like it's bar none. I feel like amongst teams in the NBA, and obviously this is from the outside looking in, I feel like, I think there's so much effort and attitude, and I feel like that's such a huge part of your guys' identity, and I think Joe totally sets the tone with that. Again, high IQ, effort and attitude. I thought it was brilliant what you said. That's my mantra too. I feel like that's you got to carry
It's a good mantra to have.
that.
Put in more than the required effort and do it with a smile on your face. You'll be surprised how far that'll take you.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, it was amazing to have you on, Rob. Seriously, I'm really grateful that you're able to come in and make this happen for me.
Oh, no problem. Happy to do it.
Thanks so much.
You're
Well,
welcome.
thank you guys for watching, and thanks so much for joining. Please catch us next week as we'll be covering the impending demise of the smaller guard in the NBA. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at the NBA Subtext. And thanks so much for watching, and I'll catch you next time.